go big or go home. That's what God's marketing department said to him about the birth announcement for Jesus. In their report, they shared their plans that they already had earthquakes, volcanoes, lightning, thunder, meteors, all queued up and ready to go. Can you imagine their bewilderment when God Almighty said, I have a better plan, let's announce it to shepherds. Their face was probably like that. They were surprised. And to understand their response, we need to have a little background on shepherds and how they were perceived by the culture at that time. Shepherds were not allowed to graze their sheep around populated areas. They had to do it out in the wilderness. Why? Because sheep stink. And shepherds were lowly. Remember King David? When Samuel went to find King David, his father and his brothers didn't even mention him. They didn't think he was an option for being king because he was a shepherd. He didn't matter at all. That's how shepherds were perceived. They were unclean. They dealt with dead animals regularly. Now, in this case, the shepherds we're talking about tonight were a little bit different. These shepherds, their flocks were closer to a populated area. And the reason is the sheep that they took care of were the sheep that were offered as sacrifices at the temple. The temple was in Jerusalem, and they were in Bethlehem, which is about 6 miles away. Why were they that far away from Jerusalem? Sheep stink. And so they were closer apparently at one time, and then people were like, can you move the sheep away a little bit? Okay, a little bit farther. And before long, they were 6 miles away. So even back then, people didn't like stink. So, let me ask you a question. Who are the people in your life that stink? Maybe not, you know, with your olfactory nerves stink, but who are the people in your lives that you don't like their behavior, you don't like their attitudes, they have a stinking attitude, stinking thinking. When you think about them, that's what you call them. Oh, they're one of them. Have you ever heard somebody say that? Maybe somebody said that to you. Oh, you're one of them. Have you ever had that treatment? There are people in your lives that you refer to as them. It's them. And that was the shepherds. The shepherds were them. When I say one of them, who do you think of in your life? Who are the people in your life that are the them? And if we're honest, we have people like that. People that frustrate you, people that aren't as smart as you are. Maybe it's immoral people or bitter people or vindictive people or just plain evil people. They stink. There's part of their lives that stink. So, now that you have somebody in mind, let's go into God's Word and see what He says. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, and the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people, even people that what? Stink. There you go. You're catching on. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped in snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem and let's see what had happened, which the Lord told us about." They hurried to the village and they found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in a manger. After seeing him, the shepherd told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about the child. All those who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. We could say surprised that angels showed up to stinky people, to them. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel told them. I did some research. How many times in Scripture has a host of angels showed up? This is the only time that there have been an angel, several angels in some cases. This is the only time that like an army of angels showed up. The biggest announcement ever for the Son of God to be born, that was the only time. But the surprising thing is that big announcement was made to stinky people, them. People who are on the outside. Why would God announce the birth of Jesus to them? Why would God announce the birth of Jesus to them? To show he doesn't look at people the way we do. God doesn't look at people the way we do. God's grid for valuing people is different than ours. You know we have grids. Well, is he a good person? You met them. What are they like? Are they good? You have conversations about other people, and you have ways of evaluating people. God's way is different than our way. And God made that clear. We tend to ask, well, what can they do for me? God said, I'm willing to die for them. Why would God announce the birth of Jesus to them? Jesus was going to be a good shepherd. Jesus would be the good shepherd. He used that analogy to describe his heart for people. A good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, and that's what Jesus was going to do. Jesus said, basically, I'd rather die than live without them. You notice when we read that passage, it said this, Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. Why did God announce the birth of Jesus to them? To make people think. To make people think. They're like, wait, God did what? God did what? It's kind of like, huh? Why would God do that? God likes to make us think. Why would he do that? When we see something that doesn't make sense, we think about it. How many of you recently have thought about drones? Right? Because what we're told about the drones just doesn't seem to make sense. And so we think about it. We talk about it to others. What do you think it is? What do you think it is? And we talk about it. That's exactly what happened then. Like, wait. Angels, like an army of angels showed up to shepherds? Are you sure you got that right? Do you have like a picture of it? Well, there was a rock carving, but it was kind of fuzzy. That's a joke. Unfortunately, I have to tell you when I tell a joke, because they're not funny. So that's why God announced the birth of his son to them, to stinky people. So maybe we should try and apply this to our lives. Like, how should I treat the them in my life? How should we treat the thems in our lives? We need to see them as people of value. Our culture's most popular radio station, I don't know what if you know what the number one radio station is. It's WIIFM. Do you know that radio station? What's in it for me? That everybody want to know, what's in it for me? And when we value people by saying, well, what can they do for me? What can this person do for me? If this person can help me, benefit me, then they have value in my life. They can, if they can contribute something to the culture, then they have value. If they can't contribute anything to the equation, then they don't have value. That's the way we look at it. But Jesus wanted us to see all people as people of value. Now, let me give you one thought and then two words that will help us see them as people of value. Every person is better than me in some way. Every person is better than me in some way. If we had time tonight, we could just start right here and we get talking. And for most of you, it won't take long for me to find something in your life that you're better than I am. Now, I'm just a naturally curious person. And so when I find that, I love to go, like, teach me about that. Tell me about that. And I love to learn. And so if we take that attitude and say, every person on this planet is better than me in some way, all of a sudden, we can learn from everybody. And two words that make a big difference. At least it's made a difference in my life the last couple of months. You've heard these two words before. Our Father. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. The people, the stinky people in your life, the thems in your life, as you pray, think of them and say, our Father. It's not my Father in heaven. It's our Father. And even though they don't acknowledge God as their Father, as you pray, our Father, it changes the way you look at other people. Our Father. That's exactly what Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father. Because it heals the divides in our lives. Every person is better than me in some way, and our Father. The walls fall down. And then see them as people to love. See them as people to love. Lay down your life for them. Serve them. Keep loving them and doing stuff for them. I heard about this church. They went to a restaurant on Sunday, and there was an Iranian family that ran this restaurant, and they were short on help. So what did the worship pastor said? You know what we did? Our table got up and we started waiting on tables. Wouldn't that be fun? They started waiting on tables and helping out. They invited the owner, who wasn't a believer, to come to choir practice. And because they were so nice to him, he came. And then he said to the choir, this man has a restaurant and he needs help. And for the next couple of weeks or a month, I want all of you to sign up to volunteer at this man's restaurant. In a period of a year or two, that entire family came to Christ. Why? Because they just loved the living daylights out of them, right? And They kept loving them and loving them until they had this expression on their face. Right? Wait, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? And that's the way we're supposed to treat other people. But, I mean, that kind of love can't really, like, change communities, can it? It can't change nations, can it? I mean, like, it doesn't end wars, does it? Does it? Well, in August 1914, German troops had crossed the border into Belgium. Soon Austria, Hungary, Bulgaria, and the Ottoman Empire were fighting against Great Britain, France, and Russia. That's World War I. It was brutal trench warfare. But something happened on Christmas Eve, 1914. Watch.
War has been declared.
For this war is indeed a crusade to save the freedom of the world.
I abandoned him like a coward, and I let him die.
Now we must pray for him. Von all the other kind.
Aber seien Sie wachsam. Denen ist alles zuzutrauen, selbst an Heiligabend.
Jede Nacht, heilige Nacht.
We were talking about a ceasefire. I don't think anyone would criticize us for laying down our rifles on Christmas Eve.
This is my wife. Merry Christmas.
Frohe Weihnachten.
Merry New Year.
It's called trahison. Peine de mort.
It's time for you to go back. I hope you both make it through the war.
The truce is over. Any minute now, the Germans will start shooting at you.
Sonst fortgehen von hier, solange noch Zeit ist.
What are you waiting for? Shoot him!
Shame on you, Gordon. Shame on you.
Perhaps we could change that last tagline to, without a them, there is no war. And there were men, after they got to know the soldiers on the other side, they couldn't shoot them anymore. That's how we change the world. Now, let's zoom out to 30,000 feet and see this from God's perspective. From His perspective, who are the them? Us. God created this perfect world, and who messed it up? Guilty as charged, Your Honor. And we were the them. So what did God do? Say, I had enough, I'm getting rid of all of them. Right? Did he do that? No. The reason we're here on December 24th is because tomorrow we celebrate the birth of Jesus coming. God said, here's what I'm going to do for them. I'm going to give them my son. I'm going to sacrifice him to build that relationship. And that's exactly what we do. And so the first step is to accept God's gift of Jesus and simply say to Jesus, I accept your gift. And then the second step is to love and serve the thems in your life. Make that your gift to them. And that's the true reason behind Christmas. It's spreading the light of Christmas, Jesus. See, here's the bottom line. Jesus came to turn them into us. It's not us and them, it's just all us. So tonight, we're going to get in a circle. And once we're in a circle, I'll show you how to light your candles. But let's get all in one big circle. And if you don't have a candle, Kevin has some candles back there at the back. But let me tell you a story. In 1818, in Oberndorf, Austria, there was a small church called St. Nicholas. Unfortunately, the St. Nicholas church organ wasn't working and wouldn't be repaired before Christmas. So Joseph Moore, who was the assistant pastor, after seeing a presentation on the birth of Jesus, was in this kind of meditative mood. And so he climbed up the hill beside the town and looked down in the village. It may have looked something similar to that. Let's all stand up and form a big circle all the way around here. And so as he was thinking about that, he was thinking, you know what? I wrote a poem a while ago. I wrote a poem about the birth of Jesus. I wonder if we could sing that. And so he took that poem to the church organist. His name was Franz Gruber. But the church organist couldn't play the organ because the organ was broken. But the church organist, you know what he had? He had a guitar. And he said, can you write a tune that we can play in the guitar? And so on December 24th, 1818, at St. Nicholas Church in Oberndorf, Austria, they sang the song that Scott's going to lead us in.